Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
21 degrees at midnight last night and sweltering for a few days and nights. So if you've had difficulty sleeping in these temperatures, then we have some advice for you now, because I'm joined in studio by our sleep expert, Professor Andrew Coogan, Professor of Behavioural Neuroscience at the Department of Psychology in Maynooth University. A very good morning to you.
Good morning.
How important is temperature in a good night's sleep?
So temperature is really important in sleep. Sleep is a whole body phenomenon. And actually, one of the things that happens in sleep is that our core body temperature drops to about 35 degrees during sleep. It actually starts dropping a couple of hours before we go to sleep. So we think that dropping the core body temperature is actually an important trigger for us that enables us to go to sleep. So when we can't regulate our temperature as normal, it's not surprising that it can affect our sleep. So temperature is definitely something that's important.
Okay, so we're dropping a full two degrees our normal body temperature by the middle of the night, yeah?
So
right now, one would imagine that we're probably as much as potentially a degree warmer than normal.
No, not necessarily, because we're thermoregulating and we're able to... Our body is very clever, basically. Our physiology is very clever. We've got lots of clever tricks that helps us keep our body body temperature within that sort of Goldilocks zone that we want it to do. So there's some things maybe we're not really aware of. The palms of our hands, the soles of our feet have these really clever... network of blood vessels that help us in our heat exchange, dissipates heat out of our body and helps us thermoregulate. So a useful tip is actually leave your hands and feet out of your bedclothes at night. That really helps us, because it helps our body keep the temperature within the range it wants it to keep it in.
Okay, I always thought that that business about losing heat at different rates from different parts of your body was meant to be a bit of nonsense, that we lost heat equally from everywhere. But you're saying hands and feet.
Hands and feet, and that's why we don't have hair on the soles of our feet or the palms of our hands.
Okay, it all starts to make sense. Every day is a learning day on this programme. Thank you very much. So look, can I get straight into some of the things that are being suggested by people? Number one, should I take a siesta in the middle of the day or am I going to spoil my night's sleep?
So that's a question we were always asked. The answer is it depends. So if you are not having a problem sleeping, getting to sleep or staying asleep at night, so when you go to bed, you fall asleep within a reasonable short space of time and you stay asleep, or you stay reasonably asleep.
Well, then you don't need a siesta and you're just being lazy.
But you can have a siesta, you can have a nap, and a nap may be beneficial. If you are struggling to sleep during the night, you are tired during the day, you may say, well, it makes sense for me to have a nap. However, what we really want you to do is to sleep well at night.
Okay, so you don't want me at 6 o'clock in the evening to fall into a deep, deep, deep sleep. You want me to have a 15, 20 minute nap?
Or not a nap at all, to make you really tired going to bed, to maximise your chances that you're able to fall asleep at night. So the thing we're most concerned about is the nighttime sleep. We want you to have as good a quality nighttime sleep as possible. So if the nap is going to interfere with that, making you slightly less tired going to bed, then maybe try to cut it out. Otherwise, naps are good. 10, 15 minute nap. So you don't wake up really groggy afterwards.
Okay, don't go into a deep sleep. Just try
sort of shortish naps. It seems to be what works best.
And do kids have more trouble thermoregulating than
definitely,
us?
Definitely. And especially small kids. Anyone who's been a parent to a baby knows this, and this, even in the normal summer. So just again, that sort of machinery, that physiological machinery they have isn't quite as developed as it is as we develop. So they're definitely more prone to the less well able to buffer the changes in the ambient temperature.
So make allowances accordingly for grumpy kids waking up not having had enough sleep.
Definitely.
What kind of attention should we be paying to our bedding? Because I'm thinking, I read something recently about high thread counts, which might seem very, very desirable on one level, but they're much heavier and harder to sleep under.
Yeah. So again, there's the question of sort of breathable fabrics, things like cotton, that allow dissipation of heat and moisture away from the body. Realistically, look what we're dealing with at the moment. This week will pass. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a question of, as climate change inevitably progresses and these features of our summer become more embedded, then we may need to think a more systematic way about, well, do we now obtain a set of summer-specific bedclothes, even things like mattresses or pillows with made out different materials. For example, with Lycra. And they may be the types of things we do need to think about in the in the medium term. I think for this week, look, you know, let's not freak out about not sleeping too well for a night or two. It's not going to do any of us any great harm.
Because it's a short-term thing.
In the immediate term.
All right. In terms of short-term measures, though, what do you favour here? Some people are suggesting pyjamas. Some people are suggesting merino wool as being a way of wicking the sweat away from your system. A lot of people saying, should we just be going in the buff?
Again, the wool thing I've seen, I've not seen any scientific evidence to support that. So I think there is a general thing is, you know, we have our sleep habits. If we deviate from our own individual sleep habits, that may put us out. So I wouldn't recommend making any big changes. You know, again, light, breathable, but it depends what you're comfortable with. There is one hint, and again, this is a slightly counterintuitive hint, which is to take a warm bath a couple of hours before bedtime. This is known as the warm bath effect. And one of the things it does is it seems to dilate our blood vessels and actually helps the body cool itself down. It also helps us relax in the couple of hours before sleep as well. So it has benefits in that. And also if you're a hay fever sufferer, like lots of people are, it helps wash pollen out of your hair and like, so you're less likely to be congested during the night as well.
Now, look, I know what you're saying might already be the answer to this question about not deviating too far from your normal sleep patterns. But one listener says that they slept on the couch last night because it was noticeably cooler downstairs than upstairs.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. You know, for the couple of days that are in it, absolutely. If you've got part of the house that's cooler, makes perfect sense. And you're able to sleep on the couch. You know, some people can and some people can't.
The other thing there that's probably at play, though, is not sleeping next to somebody in a bed.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's really important part of interpersonal relationships, you know, sharing a bed with someone. Again, in the couple of days that are in it, it mightn't be a big deal. Again, if this becomes a more established pattern, we want to think more about, well, is this how we're going to live? You know, is this going to become the norm now? And clearly you don't want to be sleeping on the couch for 3 months of summer. In the long term.
But for a night or two to get away from the body heat being exuded by your life partner, it makes sense.
Exactly. And even, you know, you think back to, you know, like Fawlty Towers, Sybil and Basil in their separate beds in their bedroom.
Somebody else is suggesting going to bed with wet hair to stay cool. We've all heard the old advice that this causes coughs and colds, but could it keep you cool?
It could. Again, it helps evaporation from the skin and helps thermoregulate. One of the concerns about those types of solutions is that they can increase humidity in the bedroom air. So if you don't have good ventilation in your bedroom and humidity builds up because the water is evaporating from your head, the effect of heat is an interplay between temperature and the humidity. So you could possibly make things worse. Now, if you can crack a window open, that's probably fine and it's not a concern.
Oh, unless you're the hay fever sufferer, which is not going to improve things for you. Which is also then a kind of an answer in part to the next question about the suggestion of the cold water bottle, a frozen twist on the old traditional method of keeping warm on a cold night. Freeze a water bottle, put it in the bed, keeps you cool on a hot tropical night. I see people are talking about putting frozen bottles in front of fans and so on, but it would undoubtedly raise the humidity in the room.
That would be a concern. And again, it depends. If you live in a house where you can open the window, you know, there's not a lot of street noise coming in that's going to disturb you, then that might work for you. But if you live in a city centre apartment where there's a lot of street noise, you know, you can't really open the window, well, maybe that's not such a good idea. I mean, the frozen water bottle, if that works, fine. I mean, I've seen people suggest freezing pillows, which just makes me wonder what type of freezers people have.
How big and how much space do they have in them that they're able to do something like that? The onion thing, have you seen this? The suggestion that people would smear themselves in onions? Is somebody somewhere having a big laugh?
I haven't seen that, thankfully.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll take that as the answer to the question. Pay no attention to the suggestions about onions. What does a seriously broken night's sleep end up doing to you? If you're waking up every hour on the hour.
Yeah. So there's effects both in the short term and long term. So, you know, we're all familiar. We will all experience that poor night's sleep. We call it acute insomnia. It happens to everyone. It tends to make us more have a lower mood the next day, be a bit more narky, maybe our concentration isn't as good, but in the long run, it's not going to do us any harm. When it becomes a consistent feature of our life, which is what happens in something called chronic insomnia, so when it's ongoing for days on end and weeks on end, now that's a significant issue. And it's a significant issue because both it's linked with mental health difficulties, it's linked with physical health difficulties, but equally as important, it's just a misery, you know. And we probably don't pay enough attention across our health systems to these ongoing sleep problems. So again, if this is happening to you, really seek help. Talk to your GP. This is an important health issue. Don't feel like, I don't want to be bothering them with this, it's not important. It is important.
It is very, very important, the long term. Okay, Helen in Longford says, I brought an ice pack to bed and I left it on my feet. Well, just following your advice, provided you don't have hair on the soles of your feet, Helen, that should work absolutely perfectly for you. Anne says, I find linen is the best for sheets as it disperses moisture as well at night. And then something, news just in from Killaloo that obviates everything that you've heard in the course of the last 10 minutes. Philip, the thunder and the rain have started in Killaloo. It's all over, folks. The national emergency has come to an end. Normal service has been resumed with the Irish weather. Sleep specialist Dr. Andrew Coogan, thank you very much for joining us this morning with those helpful suggestions, which will no doubt, let's not forget, folks, there's 8 or 10 weeks of summer officially ahead of us yet. It ain't over just right now, but it is 11 o'clock right now. Let's go over to the newsroom and Brian Jennings.